So I thought about, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, they had it pretty good, right?
Yes.
They walked in the cool of the day with God. They had freedom. They had liberty. They weren't self-conscious. They were totally God-conscious. And all of their attention was on fellowship with Him. They fellowshiped with God nonstop, 24/7. They just fellowshiped with God. And they loved life, and they loved. And then, you know, they made the mistake. They listened to the devil. And then Jesus had to come back. We're fast forwarding now to Jesus. Came back as man, the Son of Man, to restore us to that communion, that intimacy, that fellowship that He first created man and woman to have. Jesus came back to restore it fully to us. And, you know, religion's gotten in and kind of, you know, distorted that and confused that and got us off track. But Jesus, his simple mission is to pay the price so we can have full restoration to fellowship with the one who made us and loves us and knows us. That's it. And it's available to us right now. Right now. We don't have to work our way up to it. We don't have to do things to earn it. He paid the price in full so that we could live our life in oneness with Him as we go through the day. Well, you know, because we got so much junk from so many years of history to pollute our minds and to pollute our thinking and to confuse us and bewilder us, okay? But He's overcome all of it. Set before you. He set before us, so we need to set before us a vision, a picture of us being liberated and being in that kind of communion. You know, it's not New Age to picture what is true. It is not New Age. It's Bible. It's Jesus. For you to view, for you to picture, for you to see with the eyes of your heart what your life would look like. And God wants it to look like filled with Him. He wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. And the more you do it, as we talked about last week, okay, beholding Him. Beholding Him, beholding Jesus ushers in the transforming power of the Spirit of God to transform our soul. But what I'm going to share with you today is it's way bigger than transforming our soul. Transformation is a complete revolution. It's a complete radical change for good. But he's made available to us by the same means to see everything in our lives transformed. It's not just our stinking thinking. It's not just our bad attitude. It's not just, you know, the things that our soul does that's kind of whacked out there. Okay, it's not just that. That's all coming. He's working on all of it, and it's all happening. How many of you would agree, I'm being transformed? I am being transformed. I am not the person I used to be. I'm a new creation, and I'm discovering more and more every day what I really am and what I really look like to God. I'm discovering it, and I'm blasted excited about it. Yes, yes, yes. It's just going to get gooder and gooder. It's not going to get better. It's going to get gooder. Everything God does lifts up. Everything God does brings us closer. Everything God does expands our ability to see the reality of His world and how great it is and how great He is. That's the way God operates. Yeah. If that's not happening, it's not God operating at the moment, but He's still ready to operate 24/7. Yeah. 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 Because Jesus came back to take our place, to demonstrate, to pay the price for us, and to show us what we can do. He came back, he gave up his privileges as God. He gave up his rights to be God and act as God, and He came as the Son of Man. Why? So that we could see what our life could be like filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in communion with Him. It's everything he did is totally possible for us because now he's living in us. And he wants to do it the same way. And he wants us to begin to use the eyes of our heart to see that's reality. That's available right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till the sweet by and by. It's a sweet by and by right now. Let's enter into that sweet. Let's get some dessert. I want to read this from Mark chapter 1, okay? Because I thought about Jesus. He came as man representing us. And I look at his ministry and when his ministry started, and he up to a certain point, he wasn't ministering. He wasn't doing ministry. He was waiting for something. What was he waiting for?
You guys are getting good.
He was waiting for that moment when he went to the water. John the Baptist dunked him in the water, and this amazing thing happened.
God was well pleased.
Yes, he was well pleased. We're going to read that. But it's at that moment that the Spirit of God came upon him, and that's when the ministry started. That's when Jesus' eyes were fully open to see. The eyes of his heart were fully open then because he experienced the same thing we experience. Until the Spirit of God comes upon us, until we allow him to release all that God is in the kingdom, and we begin to trust in him fully, then it's at that moment that all this becomes real to us. So Mark chapter 1, I'm in the Amplified. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 8 through 15. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John speaking, Jesus, he said, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, at once John saw the heavens torn open and the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down to enter into Jesus. He saw the heavens that were closed. It was closed. People couldn't see into the Spirit. They couldn't see the reality of heaven. It was closed. But John saw, whoa! The heavens are open. They are open. God's never shut them. They're still open. He says, and there came a voice out from within heaven. You are my beloved son. Who's this talking? The Father. You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Immediately, the Holy Spirit from within drove him into the wilderness. So now he's beginning to be directly led by the Spirit of God. It came upon him, in him, and now he's beginning immediately. Now he's come with all the power. He's come with all the goods. He's come with all the equipment. Everything that Jesus was waiting for to be able to minister, the Holy Spirit came with all of it. And the first thing he does is he drives him out. Here we're going. We're going, Jesus. Where? Out to the wilderness. It's like going to the jungle. It's like going where there's no people around. There's no safety around. It's very treacherous, very dangerous. He says here, and he stayed in the wilderness desert 40 days, being tempted all the while by Satan. Okay, Satan didn't come to do that before now. Jesus got opened up to the spiritual realm, and now he can clearly see. He could clearly see the activity of the enemy. He could clearly hear the devil. Do you know that you can hear the devil? But you can hear God better. And you can shut out, just like Jesus shut out the devil. He had an answer for everything. Every temptation he gave him, everything he threw at him, Jesus had an answer for him. Shut him down. Shut him down. Shut him down. shut them down. And you can do the same thing. You can shut them down with a word. There doesn't have to be any battle. There's no fisticuffs. It's just shut them down with a word. He stayed in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted all the while by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts. Why, what's the wild beast? It's all these animals that would just as soon devour a person as to look at them. But Jesus was there with all of them, and you know, he gave me a picture of what was happening. It's like the lion would come up and just kind of rub against his leg, you know. You created me. You created me. Like, I just see that. All the wild animals suddenly didn't become wild because they recognized there was something in him. Recognize in with animal instinct that this one made you. This one created you. Same Jesus in us. Same Jesus in us. Now, after John was arrested and put in prison, Jesus came. Oh, I left some out. And angels, verse 13, and angels ministered to him continually. Would you like angels to minister to you continually? They're waiting on you. You can interact with them because now you can see them. It's like, what? Yeah. You can see things in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. You're not gonna determine that. He's gonna determine it. He's gonna open the eyes of your heart to see things in His world. And He will. He'll do it more and more and more. You ever notice how suppose you're thinking about buying something, and you're thinking a lot about buying something, and you're driving down the road, you see a billboard with that thing, you listen to the radio, you hear it on the radio. If you turn a TV on, you see a commercial about it, you hear people talking about that thing that you're, you know, it's just like all of a sudden the thing you're thinking about becomes very big everywhere you go. It just like pops out, where before you would just drive right by, not even hear it, people talking about it, would pay no attention, it wouldn't grab a hold of you, but because it's on your heart and you're thinking about it, it like opens up. When beholding Him becomes big on our heart, when seeing Him becomes the central issue of our life, hearing Him and seeing Him and walking with Him becomes the central issue of our life, then He begins to open up and we begin to see Him engaged and involved in everything around us. It begins by beholding. It begins by observing. That's a very important word, because yes, that too. Thank you for finishing that for me. Yeah, observing. Okay, verse 15, and Jesus saying, and saying, the appointed period of time is fulfilled, completed, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. I love that when I go on missions, you know. Usually the first or second time that I teach them, I'm doing this. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I tell them, look at your hand. How close is your hand? The kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying, hey, guys, everything's changed now. My kingdom is available. It's at hand. It's when 24/7, my kingdom is available, and all that's in my kingdom is available right now. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to pray it to come down. It's available right now, my kingdom. And Jesus is saying, it's begun. It's begun. I started it. Here you go. Who's going to pick it up? It's like Jesus is saying, game on, guys. Devil? You done bit the final one here. Yeah. So Jesus, there's no scriptural record of anything before this event when the Holy Spirit came upon him that now he's able to see clearly in the supernatural world. It's like, have any of you ever tried on night goggles? They use them in the military. You put these things on, and it's pitch black out here, and you can see. You can see activity and things going on with these night goggles. You can't see them. You can't see any of that without the goggles. It's like the Holy Spirit allows our heart to see things that we cannot naturally see. We cannot naturally see it. It's like there's nothing in the atmosphere in this room right now. Do you know what's going on in here? Do you know who's here? It's not just the people. Do you know that there are angels in this room right now? Do you know that there are angels outside kicking double butt? He ain't going in there today. He ain't going in there today. He ain't going in there today. You know, that's reality. And that we can see that with our spiritual eyes. Am I scaring you? All right. Now here's something we want to see. You know, Luke wrote Luke, right? Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, right? Y'all know. That was the easy question. Okay. Now, I gave you the answer. He also wrote Acts. Now, we got Luke, John, and then Acts. And what we don't normally do, we're reading through Luke, we go to John, we read through John, then we get to Acts, and we think it's just separate. But Acts was written by Luke, and he meant it to be a continuous report, the gospel right into the writing of the Acts. No stop. He picks right up where he ends. Where he ends, let's go to Luke. This is important where we're going. Luke, go to the end of Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance with a view to and as the condition of forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. What's that word? Jerusalem. Beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these. The second word is witness. What's that word? And behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised. But remain in the city until you are clothed with power. There's the third work. Hallelujah. From on high. Amen. Okay. We find all three of these things mentioned again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And there's a continuous stream of thought and flow here on the part of Luke, and there's a reason for it. Okay, let's go over to Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. I mean, you would like to have ability for all things, right? You would like to have efficiency for all things, right? Yeah. You'd like to have might in all things. Would you like that? Yeah. He's saying that's all included in the power of the Spirit of God that he comes with. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, power, witness, in Jerusalem. There's the third word. You see, he ended the Gospel of Luke and just kept writing, and it was cut off and made a new letter in Acts. But his thinking was all along the same line. Now, it's very important. It was very important to Luke and very important to Jesus that it got mentioned twice. If you look at Luke and then Acts, it's bing, bing. This is a big deal. Okay, I know when our kids were young and we were going out, we thought they were old enough that they could kind of stay by themselves. We would give them very important instructions before we left. Okay, Don't light any matches. Don't light any fires. Okay, we would tell them things that we know could cause a problem. Okay, we tell them, okay, we got food all made for you. It's on the fridge. You don't have to do nothing. Just open it up and, you know, eat it. If you want to warm it up, then don't use the stove. We would give them instructions. Here, Jesus is given instructions before he leaves. But what happens so very often is that we read all the way through verse 1, we get to 8, and we camp out in 8, and we miss the first verse. And he stalled me right on this first verse. He says, in the former account which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report. I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus, here's an important word, began to do. Which Jesus began to do. No, I was always taught, and I always thought, okay, I talk about, you know, the Gospels. Read the Gospels, you can see what Jesus did. You can see all the things that Jesus did in the Gospels. What does he say? Yeah. That was only his beginning. Right. He just started in the Gospels. He gave you a sample of what's available for you. He began to unveil to you what he is still doing. Yeah. 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 Oh, Jesus said in John 5:19, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Not, I only do what I read about God the Father doing last year. I only do the kinds of things that I heard that God the Father did. No. I only do what I see right now the Father is doing right now. Ooh, here's the importance of our eyes, our spiritual eyes. Oh, it's going to get gooder. Now look at this word witnessing, okay? We who are believers look at this word witnessing as something we do with our mouths, right? I'm going out witnessing. I don't think that's what he meant at all. Oh, now, all the rest of the world, if you ask them about being a witness, what are they going to say? Well, I saw this event, and I'm a witness to the event. I saw this thing happen, and I'm a witness to that happening. Well, the church has bought the wrong idea. Oh. Witnessing is something we are supposed to do with our eyes. We are to witness what God is doing and then release by the power of the Holy Ghost what God is doing right now. I'm telling you, this is available for every one of you right now, today. Only believe. Jesus, yes. Jesus wants us to be a witness to his life. What life? The life he's living right now. Not what he lived when he was on earth. A witness to what he's living right now. And I tell you, he can live his life differently in every one of us all at the same time. And how is he wanting to live his life through you right now, today? That's the question. I know, I remember when, I don't remember how many years ago it was, this came out, this saying came out, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, they got an issue in your life, well, what would Jesus do? You got something going on, well, what would Jesus do? Well, that has an underlying assumption of what? Jesus is not here. But if he was here, what would he do? That's totally wrong. The real thing, the real question should be, is what is Jesus doing? The real question is, what is Jesus doing right now? What is he doing in my life? What is he doing in your life? That's the real question. He wants you to know because he's a now God. Wow. 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 Jesus is telling them here in Acts, this what's recorded, what he said. He's telling them that you can continue. You can continue to see me do the works that I do. He's talking to disciples who walked with him when he physically was doing the miracles and doing all the things, and the teaching. They were there watching him and hearing him. And he's telling them, hey guys, you can continue to watch me. You can continue to see me teach. You can continue to hear me teach. A now word right now. You can continue to watch me as I perform miracles through your hands. You can continue. It's still me, but it's now that I'm doing it. Open my eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. A second half of the verse. We could read the first half, but it's not what we're talking about. Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you. I will not in any way fail you. That's good, right? Nor give you. See, Harvey and I, you know, we both like getting humbled. It's up there. Nor leave you without support. Watch this. I will not. You know, whenever you see Jesus saying, truly, 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 verily, 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 the word saying, I will not, that's an emphatic point, and God's trying to say, stop. And listen, stop and pay attention, because this will whack you good. This will totally change your life. I will not, God says. I will not, God says. In case you didn't get the first two. I will not in any degree leave you helpless nor forsake nor let you down. I will not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. It's God who created us is telling us this. I will not. Don't entertain a single thought ever about how you will ever be on your own. Amen. How you will ever have to handle life by your own strength. Don't ever entertain those thoughts. I will not. I will not. I will not. I love it. Because he knows we're blockheaded sometimes. You know, he knows that. So he's emphatically saying that, wow. He allows us to continue to remain dependent on him so that he can lead us, to continue to be a witness, to observe, what he's doing and what he's saying.
I love verse 6.
Huh? You love 6? Let's read it. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Let's say that. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Nothing. Nothing. That's exactly what Jesus said. Nothing, and nothing by any means shall harm you, he said. Yes. Nothing. That's, you know what that means? No thing. There's no thing ever anywhere in this entire world that can harm you unless you think it can. So beholding him will transform our soul, but it will transform way more than that. Wow. So I did this little investigation on the scientific realm. This is something that Mark knows a lot about, so if you want to have it expanded what I'm going to tell you, I'm sure he could do it. But there is this thing that they found out called a wave function, that neutrons, the makeup of all of everything, neutrons have a wave, they move in a wave. And that when someone is watching it, or a camera is put on this thing as it's moving, then it changes. They call it a collapse. It collapses out of that wave into a specific thing. And as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, that's exactly how faith operates. That's exactly how the spiritual realm operates. It's like an electron exists as a wave until it's observed, and then it collapses into a specific thing. And the spiritual realm, which is all around us and here right now in this room, is like waves of glory that are going through here, which is Jesus, because Jesus is the glorious one. Waves of his glory. And when we turn our focus upon him and he shows us something, we observe something in the spirit realm, it takes that wave and drops it into this realm. How important is beholding? I don't think we've begun to realize. Wow. We have the ability to take something that is invisible in God, in Christ, and bring it into our here and now. Right now, as soon as we see it, we can thank him for it. And it will manifest. And it's been proven now by the scientists. You can look it up. It's a wave function. What they call how this neutron or this electron, I'm not sure about the terms, how they call it collapsing. And it's no longer a wave just going out there, but it becomes a singular item and manifests. What they call it is collapse. What we call it is bringing out of the spiritual realm into the natural realm the glory of God. Wow. So they say that in this quantum realm there is this whole realm is one of potential, where any possible outcome could come at any given time. Now think about that. That's the definition of faith. In fact, let's look at it. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark 9, 23. And Jesus said, "You say to me, if you can do anything, why? All things are possible to him who believes." Everything to us is possible. It all exists right now. Everything we could ever need, ever desire, it all exists right now in the spirit realm, in this place, in this room right now. The deepest need of your heart's already been met. The deepest desire of your heart's already, and it's in the spirit realm right now, waiting for us to release faith. Okay, And the key is beholding, spending time with him, allowing him to show you what he's doing right now. And when he reveals to you what he's doing right now, you step into that, you receive it, you thank him, and it comes out of that realm and into this realm. Oh, my God. Now, I know I'm going to be unpacking this the rest of my life. It's huge. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. But all things are possible with God. All things. Did he or did he not give us everything in Christ?
Yes.
Isn't that everything that we could ever ask for or imagine is already in Christ? Right? It's already done. Right?
Yes.
We already have. 2 Peter 1:3 says, what? These promises have already been given to you. Everything you need for life and godliness has already been given. It's in the spirit realm around you right now. And it's waiting for you by faith. Okay. It's not name it and claim it. It's seeing. Seeing that he's made this provision for me. I see it. I see it with my spirit. I see the provision is made. Thank you. I receive it. That's when it happens. It's not just because I know about something and I'm declaring it and speaking it out. And that's the trouble with name it and claim it. How many times have you named and claimed things you never saw? That's not the way Jesus operated. And that's not the way he's operating today. He only did what he saw the Father doing. And we need to be in that communion with him where we're more and more seeing what he's doing. And when we see it, it's not just to give us a vision. It's to show us what's available to us. He's not doing it to pump us up so we can tell him, hey, I had a vision. Hey, I had a vision. No, it's to show us what, out of his glorious realm and personhood of Jesus Christ, what he's got for us right now. You want it?
Yes.
Wow. Jesus is, everything is in Jesus, right? Jesus is our healer. Boy, you could take that somewhere. He's our provider. In everything, for everything, every need of our life. He's our provider. He is our provider. Why do we want to behold Jesus? Why do we want to spend time turning our heart to him and see? Why do we want to? Because he's going to show us things that will radically change our life and give us a testimony that people are going to be, my God, is it that simple? Are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. He made it so simple a child could draw out of the unseen realm and bring the miraculous into this world. He made it that simple. Yeah. Ephesians 1:3 says what? We have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in the spiritual realm. We have already been blessed with every single blessing that we could ever, ever imagine or ever need or ever think of. It's already in the spirit realm all around us right now. What is this doing for your begging type prayers now? I mean, my prayer life is changing. It's changing. It's like I'm praying. He opens the eyes of my heart. I see something. That's it. I'm grabbing hold of it and thanking you for it. And it gets released in my life. How long does it take? How long does it take for this to happen in the physical world of scientific world for atoms? It's now. As soon as these waves are observed, as soon as an eye is put on it, boom. As As soon as the eyes of our heart are put on what he's showing us. Yes. 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 Yeah, we're talking about, I mean, all that scientific stuff is doing is showing us the faith is real, and faith is what does this. They just can't put those words on it because then they're not a scientist anymore. They become a theologian. You're freaking them out. See, we have everything in the spirit, but let's be honest, we want them in the earthly realm, don't we? We get them by faith. We get them by what this scientist called the observer effect. When we observe, not atoms, when we observe, not protons and neutrons and electrons, not when we observe that, when we observe Jesus. When we set our eyes on, observe Jesus. When we behold him. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 3. I'm still in the Amplified. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, they were fashioned, they were put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of the things which are visible. There's not one thing that you can see with your natural eyes that was made out of the natural. It was all already in the spirit realm. Every person that ever got an invention already saw it. They saw it before it was ever made, ever produced. We see it in the spirit realm first, and then we know why we're seeing it. Because we're believers. And we release it. So I say again, how important is it that we behold him? How important is it that we observe, we set the eyes of our heart on him? How important is it? Because every possibility becomes a possibility which will lead to a reality that is real in Christ. But every possibility that is in him will now become a reality in our life. Yes. When we see. I've heard all kinds of preachers try to talk around the words of Jesus. That I don't need to do what I see the Father doing. And probably the most popular one is, well, he's really saying, I only do what I know that the Father would want me to do. In other words, hey, I got the scriptures. So everything that Jesus did, I know that God wants me to do those same things, so I'm just going to do those. That's not what he's saying. He wants us to walk with him now. He's alive right now. He's real right now. And he's got new great adventures for us every day. There's nothing stale about God. There's nothing old about God. He's new. He's fresh right now. And he's always the same, loving, pure, holy, awesome, powerful. He's always the same. He always has such an intense desire for us to be lifted up. Always. Always. Wow, so there's a heavenly waves of glory. I don't want to get too woo-woo for you, okay? But in the spiritual space, there is waves of glory. Jesus' glory, woo, 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 waves. And in those waves is potential and possibility for all kinds of miracles to happen. And he draws out of that, and he reveals himself to us in a certain way. He reveals something that he wants to do. He reveals something he wants to have happen. And when we see that and we receive that and we believe that, it makes the trip instantaneously. Yes, it becomes solid. It has mass. It's not invisible. anymore. Wow.
Yeah.
As I was thinking about this morning, he reminded me of started reminding me of some things that happened out in the mission field and way back to when we first started going out, and which I didn't even really understand how it happened. We were in Guyana. This is one of the first places that we ever went, and God started this, but I didn't know what was happening. And we had finished ministry, and this lady came over to see us in the mission house that we were in, and brought her child, it was a young child, baby, and said she was crying, and she said, they told me I had to take my child out of the hospital because there was nothing else they could do. Now, when you get in those countries, they don't have places like we have in America where they'll just keep trying something medically. You know, they'll put equipment on the person. They'll do all these things. They don't have that. You know, and in many senses, that's why we see so many more miracles happen in the third and fourth world nation, because they don't have all the outlets here that we do. They can't just take themselves or their children or whatever down to a hospital and have them work on them. They don't have that.
Yes.
So she brought this child and she said, "My child is bleeding out," and they gave the child all the
transfusion.
Okay? They said, "We can't give the child any more, or that will kill the child from having so much transfusion. There's nothing else we can do. You just take the child home to die." What a thing to tell a mother. And we're listening. There's tears just coming down her face. And she said, "Is there anything you can do?" And I'm, we're sitting there, and I got a vision. And I had forgot about it till he reminded me this morning, but I had a vision of Jesus standing, putting his hands on this child, and the child got well. And I made a statement like, "In the name of Jesus, your child is just healed. Child is healed." And she just kept crying. I said, "You can go take the child home." I said, "We're going to be in this church tomorrow. You come, you bring the child with you." Now, she was told that the child would be dead in a matter of couple hours maybe, because the blood just kept nonstop coming out. I don't know how. I didn't ask. I don't want to know those details. I don't like it when people start giving me too many details about their disease and sickness. Okay, it just that can get me out of faith sometimes. They go on so much. And we left. And the next day at church, she walks in with a child, and she said she stopped the service. And she said, look at what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus touched my child yesterday, and the bleeding instantly stopped. And the child's been getting better by the second." And that came by just beholding Jesus. The now Jesus. Showing us what he's doing right now.
Amen.
Whoa.
Right now.
And then he showed me another one. He, on purpose, he went back to my early years of ministry because he wanted me to know, "I've been doing this all along, son. You just didn't recognize it. But now that you recognize it, now you understand that this is the way Jesus did it, and you can do it too. You're going to see a whole lot more." Wow. So he reminded me of another instance. It was this lady. She came from a long distance away on crutches. Her legs were really messed up. Maybe you remember that, Casey. It was in Guyana. She came and she was really messed up. And she said, "I heard that Jesus was in Bushlot." That's a town we were in. She said, "I heard that Jesus was here. And that Jesus was healing people." I said, "Well, you heard right." She said, "Where is he?" And we said, "He's right here. He's with us." "What? He is?" "Yeah, he's in us." "Oh." And we told her about being born again. She got born again. And The same thing happened to me. I saw Jesus taking her hands and lifting her up. I said, okay, we're going to pray for you. You know, and the prayer was really short. He was trying to teach me then, you know, I didn't need to pray so long. I just need to see what he's doing. Everything God does is something. It's just, it's so, and we all, he wants all of us to have those somethings that we can tell people, oh, God, he's past words, he's so great. Oh, this lady, we took her hands, she stood up. She started walking. I can't remember if she took her crutches or not. You remember? Yeah. Amazing. And he's reminding me now of those times that I was just beholding him and I saw him and what he was doing. And I just said what he was doing. Oh, okay, now is it going to be like that every time you pray for someone? No. And if you're waiting for that, then you're not going to pray for very many people. But I can tell you this, it's going to increase more and more and more and more. And it's not just in the area of healing. It's in every area of our life. Provision, needs, everything. All of it. It's so blasted glorious. Look at this scripture. Let me get one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen. Oh. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen. Okay. He's saying, don't put your focus on the things you see. Don't just, you know, toss around in your head all the things that, you know, that are going on around you and try to figure all that out. He says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but what? But to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal. They're brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. What we see in the invisible realm, what we see of Jesus in the invisible realm, is eternal. Never going to come to an end. And he's saying, come on, get your eyes off of this stuff and put them on where you're going to get something good out of it. Put your eyes on beholding Jesus. Make the switch. We could go through a whole day, right? We could go through a whole day just looking at things around us and trying to rationalize and figure them out and how to solve our problems and, you know, worry about this and worry about that. We can go through a whole day thinking about all these things that are carnal, that are worldly, right?
For a whole lifetime.
Horrible. Yeah. We could do it for a whole life. And there are people that do that their entire life and then they leave and like, oh my God. I never saw this.
Yeah.
You could have. Yeah. See, the blessings of God, of Jesus, remain in the spiritual state as possibilities, waiting for someone of us to grab them. All the possibilities of God remain around us and even in us as a possibility until we turn our heart and focus to Him and He allows us to see it, and then it becomes reality as we receive it. And it's all by the Spirit. It's all by the Spirit. He does it all. He's the transformer. He's the miracle worker. Because it's reality. It's reality to God. So I look at it like I'm looking to see a snapshot from the Holy Spirit or a video. I want to see Holy Spirit snapshots. He takes a picture of something in the spirit realm that is available to me right now, and I see it. Or a video. It's okay. I'll take either one. And as a result of that, I agree, and a miracle gets released. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. How about that? Let's read the first half of the verse. Looking away. Looking. You know, and this kind of statement is what I keep seeing over and over again in Scripture now. Where he says, look at me, look away, look at my world, observe me. It's looking away from all that will distract. Okay. How much is there that will distract us? Well, we can't count them all, right? Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, who is the leader and the source of the faith that brings the release of the miraculous into our world. Giving the first incentive for our belief. He does it all. And is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. It's Jesus. I'm going to give you just two examples from Scripture, and then I'm knocking off. I think. Joshua, I got to go to this Bible because this doesn't have an Old Testament. Joshua chapter 6. You remember Joshua? I remember when he marched all around Jericho and seven times and the walls all came tumbling down. Okay. Have you ever really thought about how all that came about? Look at this. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. In the New King James. And the Lord said to Joshua, you need to see it up here. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. New King James. I want you to see this word. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Joshua, he's telling Joshua, I want you to see this before you ever see it. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. I've given you the king and the mighty men of valor. I've given it all to you. When it looked like in a natural, there ain't no way. We're never going to get past those walls. And the Lord says, see it. See it. Turn your heart to me and see the victory. See the victory. Can you see it? And he's going to say that to us again and again when we have a problem. Okay, can you see the victory? Can you see yourself on the other side of this problem? Can you see yourself standing with your hands raised up, thanking me and praising me for the victory that I've brought in you? Can you see it? Can you see it? If you can see it, release it. Ha! This is a perfect picture here with Joshua of this observer effect in action, a perfect picture of faith in action, of how it works. See it? God's about to give it to you. It's a possibility that's in the spirit realm right now, over your life, possibility. What do you need? Oh. Well, you know, I would love to be able to minister to do this or do that, but I don't have the means to do it. And we pray and pray and pray. God, please, God, please, God, please, God, bring me the means to do this. When all the while, so don't just behold me, the glorious one. Just turn your heart to me, the glorious one, and I will show you. I've done it. I've given it to you. Because you're looking in the right place, releases. I don't know how to explain to you what I'm feeling on the inside of me right now. It's this overwhelming love of God for us who are his children. And he made us for so much more than we're experiencing. He made us to be carriers of his glory. He made us to bring into this world all around us and into people's lives what is available in him right now. Right now. He made us for that. And he loves it as we begin to turn our heart and our affection to him and say, God, I've missed so much. God, I've been off base. There's so much theology and stuff I tried to learn. God, it's just you. It's just you, God. It's just your beautiful presence. It's just adoring you and honoring you and worshiping you, Lord, and seeing you for who you are, the Holy One, the Creator, God. And out of your love, you just give me opportunities to bring your world, to bring your world. Wow. In Luke chapter 9, verse 16, talking about Jesus when they had all these people out there that they didn't know what to do about feeding them, and they got the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and look at what Jesus did. Luke 9:16. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked. He turned his attention, he turned his affection to the Father, to heaven, where there's no lack, where there's nothing but abundance. In heaven, there's nobody crying, begging. No, there's abundance of everything. He looked into the spirit realm. He looked into the reality of the spirit realm, the glory of the Father. He looked. He turned his heart and he looked, and he saw loaves and piles of fish. He saw the abundance. He looked. It's the same Jesus in us. It's the same Jesus. He operates the same way. He just wants us to get on board. I like Isaiah 46, verse 10. It says, declare the end before you declare the beginning. Yeah. See the end before you see the beginning. See the finish. See the finished work of Jesus. See what he's accomplished in whatever situation you're in, whatever need you have. See that he's already met that. See it. Focus on heaven and the abundance of heaven. See it. Dwell on it. Wow. You know, I feel like we need to repent of all of our negative imaginings. Imagining the worst. Imagining the situation turning out to hurt me. Imagining the loss that I'm going to have through something that's going on. I just feel like we need to repent of that. And use this God-given imagination that he's given us to be able to see his glory, to see his world, to see his abundance, to see his no-lack zone. When you look at the life of Jesus when he was on earth, there was every challenge he got hit with. He never said, what are we going to do now, guys? He looked into heaven and he saw the abundance. One time they had to pay the temple tax, and he saw, I'm sure, he looked and he saw heaven. Throw a fish hook in the water. Don't put anything on the hook. Just throw it in the water. You're going to get what you need. No, the disciples had to think, you're whacked, Jesus. You're whacked. He wasn't whacked. He was seeing. He was seeing reality. And that's what he's still doing in us. Let's agree together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, what you've come to do is so much greater than what we've ever imagined. What you've come to do is so much more powerful than what we've ever imagined. Oh, we've imagined wrong. Oh, God. Open the eyes of our heart. We're praying. We're praying, believing right now. Open the eyes of our heart to see you, to see the real reality, to see your world, to see your kingdom. You're all around us, Lord. You're all around us. You're in us. We can never get away from you. Not that we would ever want to, but you're here. You're here, and you'll never leave us. No, never, never leave us. No, never, never, never leave us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We'll never have to operate on our own. But we can always, every day, trust in you, lean on you. Lean on you. We want to see, Lord. We want to see. And we know that you put that desire in our heart. And we know that today you want us to make that quantum leap out of a mundane, worldly, carnal reality into the reality of your world where there is no lack. Where there's nothing but health and healing and wholeness and strength and life and joy and peace and fullness. That's all we're going to find there. Oh, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We yield. We surrender, every one of us. I think we're all together on this, Lord. We surrender right now. We yield. Every part of our being, we yield. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for enrapturing us, Lord, with your glorious presence. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We're bringing before you, Lord. Every one of us has got some kind of issue going on in our lives. We're just grabbing a hold of those issues and we're bringing it to you. Yes. Jesus, we don't want to see the issue. We want to see you. Right. We leave the issue with you. We just want to see you, Jesus. And we say, what would you do with it, Lord? What are you doing with it right now, Lord? Oh, yes, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We bless you. Truly be magnified in us. Truly be magnified in us. In your glorious name. Yes.